Hey, greetings, fellow makers. It's Bill here, and it's time for Prop Live Q&A, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session this week with a guest, our buddy Garrick from No One's Designs, and hot off of Cosplay Melee. Garrick, speaking of hot, you're in Arizona.
Yes.
How you doing?
I have to have my air conditioners on already, so, you know, great.
Mm-hmm. Any scorpions in your shop?
No. Black Widows, though.
Oh,
Black Widows,
geez.
Definitely. the only thing worse than scorpions.
When I visited, I went to Phoenix Comic Con a couple of years ago. I got there, and it was 106 degrees out, and my friends were like, oh, by the way, check your shoes to make sure there's no scorpions in them before you put your shoes on. And the whole time I was like, why do people live here?
Because I can put something that I'm casting outside and it's done in 3 minutes.
That's a very good reason. I bet spray painting is pretty quick too.
Oh, I don't understand how people who live in cold climates or humidity work.
Yeah. We get a lot of questions from people in Florida about spray paint. and that is tough. The humidity can kill you. Funny enough, Seattle, not that humid. It is a little chilly sometimes, but not that humid. And I found humidity has a bigger role to play in spray paint drying. Garrick, what have you been up to lately? Any cool projects?
Yeah, actually, we've been doing a whole bunch of stuff from Final Fantasy 15 and Kingsglaive and stuff. And actually, just today, I finished molding my Kukris. I had brought the master. I can't really see the filigree on that in my dumb camera. But I had brought my master to Emerald City Con for this one, and it got broken.
Oh, no.
And it was very sad. So I had to repair it, but yeah, these are pulled like 20 minutes ago, and I'm super excited about that. We've just been doing a lot from Final Fantasy lately, and then also being on television.
That was a thing that happened too.
That was a thing.
I bet you're like now really stoked to incorporate wings into all of your projects.
Oh, that's all I think about is just building more wings. Oh, God.
For those who are new, Garrick runs a little operation called No One's Designs. Now, you run this with your wife?
Yes, yeah. Currently, I'm doing it full-time, and she still has a day job, but does it on the side. So basically, she gets to do the fun creative stuff, and I do the molding and casting and painting and dirty work.
That's pretty good. Pretty good arrangement, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you got your website here, noonesdesigns.com. Everyone go check that out to see some of the projects you're working on. You've also got all the things, the Facebooks, the Twitters, all of those things.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, all that. YouTube. I've been doing channel tutorials and like product reviews for the past couple of years now on and off. So I think my most recent one is about... a no programming sound effects chip.
That sounds relevant to my interest. I'm gonna go, oh, there we go, I found it, and I'm going to subscribe to your channel because now that you know that I'm watching, you'll be inspired, I hope.
I'll just have to be like, oh, I gotta be better.
There we go, subscribe to your YouTube channel, and I am anxiously awaiting your next YouTube video. Looks like you've got a pretty good batch there already, and I encourage people to go subscribe and check out your videos. Awesome. Let's see. What else do we have on the old list here? What is Project Hero?
Oh, Project Hero. That's it's a small group of friends, kind of not just local to Phoenix, but... probably Southwestern America. Mm-hmm. And we are a charity group that does, it's kind of a non-denominational cosplay charity group where you see like the 501st or, you know, the Arizona Avengers. We kind of do any hero or any heroic group, and we boost other charities. So we did a G.I. Joe group and went out and did... stuff for the Wounded Warrior Project. We've done the Avengers at, like, the Children's Museum. You know, that's my compressor. I'm going to turn that off.
All right. Well, I think that is just about the coolest thing ever, being able to contribute. I've seen a lot of people, actually. It's kind of cool. People being able to turn their costume hobby or their craft, doing costume stuff, into charity things, which is really neat. So kudos to you for that. That's something I encourage people to go check out. And of course, you did a little thing called Cosplay Melee. This week, you were on.
This week, yeah. It was a little crazy.
Yeah. Of course, I was funny too. I was like, I hadn't seen the episode. I watched it the day after it aired on Amazon. But it was fun to root for my buddies on the show, even though I know it was filmed like months ago. Mm-hmm. So like, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, it was a little crazy, especially since Jess and I actually knew each other. We do Wasteland Weekend together. And so we showed up on set and we're just like, hey, cool, let's make stuff.
Yeah, that's something, and I will say, too, overall, I've been pretty happy with how the show has turned out, but I know when I'm watching, I'm like, those people know one another, like, they're buddies, but they never, I don't know why, I know that there's, like, decisions that get made in TV shows, but it's like, why not showcase friendship? I don't know.
They are so one of the things that we got a crash course in that I can talk about mm-hmm. is... game show law, and apparently because of all of the rigged game shows in the late 70s and early 80s, there is just a bunch of stuff that they do not want to cross the line on, so they play it really super safe on a lot of the decisions that they make with who knows who and who's getting to do what and things.
I didn't
of
even
that
think
nature.
About that, since they're giving away cash, like there's a cash prize at the end of it, that mm-hmm. it's a sort of, I just looked it up on Wikipedia here. There's a whole article on the 1950s quiz show scandals, and I didn't even think that they've got it, that they would have to follow rules because they don't want to have a lawsuit on their hands.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's a whole thing here.
Yeah. It was drilled into our head how big of a deal that was.
Wow. That's an interesting thing to consider too. I hadn't even thought about that. So I encourage everyone to go check out the episode, the most recent episode. You guys had to make wings, which we get a lot of questions on this show about wings. I've never made wings before, and it turns out no one on the show had made them either.
no one on the show had made them, and the one thing that they didn't really like, they kind of talked about it, but so you had Lisa and I were probably the most, like, cosplayers of the group. Mm-hmm. Marty cosplays, but she's a professional comic book artist.
Right.
And Jesse cosplays, but she's a professional fashion designer. So, like, none of us had engineering backgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of, okay, I guess this is happening now.
I got to tell you, though, because I just know that from a technical challenge aspect, the making wings is incredibly difficult. And everyone really, like, made wings. Like, they worked, which is astonishing, and I was really impressed.
I actually thought that one of ours, and I didn't know who, because everybody was building their wings in such completely different ways, but I was just assuming that one of ours was going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the fact that they all went on stage and they all worked.
Yeah. That was very, very cool. And it was the for those of you guys, we won't try and spoil anything for the episode, because I do encourage everyone to go watch it. But I will say the wings was the first challenge. Everyone had to try and build a pair of wings. So everyone did it, and they had just the one day to do the wings. Mm-hmm. That was like the first challenge. And that's just... that is just a staggering amount of work for such a short period of time.
We were the first episode to be filmed, even though we weren't the first episode to be aired. Mm-hmm. So there was still some kinks getting worked out. So yeah, it was definitely something that we were all, you just had to put your nose to the grindstone. And if you hit something, like, I expected this to be here and it's not, you cannot be upset about it. You just had to move on.
So something I'm curious about, and I'm sure, like, no matter what the outcome, if you're watching mm-hmm. yourself on television in a competition, there's got to be things where you just really wish you had done differently.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a list, but if there was one thing you could do differently, what would it be?
Oh, the shape of my chess piece.
Yeah.
And I think Leanna may have said something about it. The pecs were too low mm-hmm. and it was not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
It's just what I had the time to do. Because I actually, like, I loved my helm and I liked all of the fabric work that I did, but yeah, that I just didn't, you know, you have a day basically,
yeah.
and I didn't have the time to put the details in it that I wanted to. I also wish that I had used Warbla before I went on the show because man, you can build stuff with Warbla fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Hey, everyone watching live, by the way, if you guys have a question for me or Garrick or both of us about a project that you're working on, perhaps some advice, or if you want to ask Garrick about something to do with his experience on Cosplay Melee, you can submit your questions while we're recording live. Just go to punishedprops.com/live. There's a little form there you can fill it out to send us your question. So get those questions in now. We're going to start answering them super soon. But I have one announcement thing. normally on my birthday, I give out my book for free, my first book. I did that this year, a couple days ago, and it absolutely destroyed my website. So people were looking to get the book still. I've decided that book is now free forever.
Ta-da.
Yay. And I uploaded it to my Amazon web server, which if you guys can crash an Amazon web server, then, you know, you then you are a force of nature. But I have a YouTube video about it. Just go to our YouTube channel. You'll see it with a link, just a straight up link. Go download the PDF, my first book, for free forever. That's my little thank you to you guys for being so awesome over the years. And thank you for destroying my website.
And I gotta say, that's a fantastic book. I bought that book when you first released it several years ago. So that was, it's a good book. It's definitely worth reading.
It has been digitally remastered, by the way. If you haven't grabbed the new version, it's got better pictures. So you can go grab that, whenever you want, because it's free forever. Okay, are you about ready to tackle some questions?
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to throw out there is that I, in case your audience, they probably don't know me very well, I also did manage a fine art store for several years.
Oh,
so if they've
cool.
got questions about, like, the chemistry of paint or, like, how different acrylic mediums work, I've got a lot of info there, too.
That's good. So. Good, good. Lay it on him. You guys got paint questions? You got any making or art type questions? Throw it our way. I have a degree in art, so I'm okay at that stuff. It's not that impressive. It wasn't very hard. Where are my questions? First question comes to us from Lady Longshanks. My wife Brittany wants to know what adhesive you used to attach the stretch fabric that you used to your EVA foam. Or just, like, kind of go over the whole process of gluing the fabric to the foam.
Sure, sure. I actually do this a lot, putting fabric over EVA foam. And it kind of depends upon the fabric. For spandex, though, or any four-way stretch material, Super 77, like the 3M Super 77, that works just fine. When I wrap it around the backside, I use something with a bit more adhesion, like a barge. Something that's going to grip in a little bit more. The problem with barge is it's got so much solvent in it that it can ruin the finish, especially if it's like a metallic spandex. But if you're pinning it around the back, you don't care about that. You just want the hold. But yeah, Super 77 all the way for that stuff.
And are you spraying it on both the foam and the back of the fabric?
No, just on the foam.
Okay.
Because it would become a horrid sticky mess on the back of the fabric.
I'll tell you what, I've never done it before, but I've seen a lot of people do some really cool stuff wrapping stretch vinyl around foam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really good and clean about it, you can get like pieces that look really nice and really clean with that super nice vinyl finish on it. And people have no idea that you made it from a hunk of floor mats.
Oh, and it's also really good for making two pieces of dissimilar material look the same.
Oh.
Like our Gypsy Danger drive suits, my chest plate is vacuformed and Jackie's chest plate is made out of EVA foam, but we wrap them both in carbon fiber spandex.
Oh.
And it makes them look identical.
Nice. I bet you can hide seams in foam that way really well too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be as neat with your seam work.
Very good. That's a technique I'm going to hide in my back pocket until I need it. Oh, I see SKS Props in the chat saying that you looked awesome on Cosplay Melee.
Aw, thanks, Steve.
We're waiting to see you on the TV machine there, Steve.
Yeah, with all your fancy bits.
I'm sure Steve will look just as awesome. All right, thanks, Britt, for the question. Next one comes to us from D. How did you choose your name for the public/business side of things? This is actually something I was interested in to ask you. And are you happy with it? And if you were going to change it, what would you change it to?
It comes from that phrase, it takes one to know one.
Mm.
And that was like my online handle. I think a lot of prop makers just turn their online handles into their business name because they are thinking about too many other things at the time. So I just was like, well, I like wordplay. I like no one's designs. I think it's cute. And then that way I can call like people who are my fans nobodies. And so I wouldn't. It is a little confusing when I have to tell people. No, it's K-N-O-W, not N-O. But I mean, if like Weta, which is just a bunch of words or letters thrown together, can become super famous, I'm sure no one's designs will be fine. And no, I don't regret it, and I don't think I'd change it.
I mine came from a photography blog I had called Punished Pixels that was kind of a play on the fact that that you can manipulate pixels all you want sort of thing. And then I was like, oh, the prop thing was secondary at the time. I was going to be a world famous photographer. So I just called my prop blog that, and now I'm stuck with it. So, and I would change it if I could.
What would you change it to?
Actually, this is something we were talking to. We had a meeting the other day with a business consultant. We were talking about that. When I started my business, I was very much a prop maker for hire, prop and costume maker for hire. Mm-hmm. We don't really do that anymore. Now we do mostly instructional type stuff. So I would choose something that if you read the name, you would think, oh, that's a place where I go to learn stuff. So I'd have to come up. I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but. Something that just says prop tutorials.
Education.
Propandcostumetutorials.com. Maybe something that's that rolls off the tongue a little bit.
Yeah, a little easier than that. Yeah.
Good question, D. Thank you very much. Let's see here. And if you haven't submitted your question yet, gang, get in there. Because I'm looking at our question list and we could use some more. All right. Dirty Templar has a question for us. How would you recommend making a scabbard or a sheath for a foam prop sword? I'll throw this one over to you, Garrick.
I would probably also just make it out of foam. I guess it depends on what the sheath looks like. If you needed it to look really like tough or rigid, maybe I would build it out of foam and then skin it with like really thin styrene. Or something. But yeah, normally if it's a foam sword, I just build a foam sheath around it. But sheaths come in so many different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, you could look at how real sheaths are made out of wood for a lot of swords. And then just basically do that out of foam or Sintra or something. But I would probably just make some layers, and one of the layers would have a channel for the blade to go down. Laminate them all together and then just round all the edges on it. You can do that in foam or Sintra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I know I've made a sheath before. When's the last time? No, I did. I made one out of wood. I made one out of MDF, and that's exactly how I did it. I will say one thing. If you're going to make some layers and have a channel cut into the blade and the blade is curved, make sure that the blade can slide in and out of it. Because if it's, for example, the sword Orcrist from The Hobbit, the end of the blade is wider than the top of the blade, so the scabbard has to have a gap in it so that the blade can get out. There are things like that you have to consider when you're making a scabbard.
When I was making the scabbard for this guy, all I literally did was template a piece of foam out that folded over and seamed down one edge, and then it just kind of pressure fit in there. So, I mean, it's the design for the scabbard was very simple to begin with.
There you go. A little bit of experimentation there, Dirty Templar, and you'll get there in no time. Also in the chat, Hey Patch is letting me know that a slight typo of punished props when you're searching for that in Google can return some questionable web pages. Good to know. All right, here we go. Let's grab one from Keanu Rust, who is curious, what are my favorite filaments for 3D printing? Have you done any 3D printing yet, Garrick?
Yes, actually, I was... A situation that was fortunate for me, but not so fortunate for the students. There was a charter school that had to cancel high school.
Oh, goodness.
but they sold off their entire tech lab. So I got a Cubex 3D printer and all the software and computer and everything for a steel. But I only print in PLA because it doesn't have a heated bed. And I have to... Don't buy a Cubex. No. I'm gonna throw that out there. The Cube, because it's like Apple. It's a walled garden, and their cartridges of filament cost $100. So I use a roundabout way and some software that hacks it to make it run. But basically, it's like it runs generic PLA, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. I've had a chance to experiment with a bunch of them. I usually print in PLA. Because it's dead simple to print with.
Mm-hmm.
I have done some stuff with ABS. I will say ABS is easier to sand, which is a huge bonus because I sand everything.
Yeah.
But I also have a lot of PLA. I've just ended up with a ton of PLA. So the Ultimaker has PLA in it. The Dremel has PLA in it. And then this guy that I was playing with, the Sigma, that I did my most recent video on, that one just ended up with PLA in it as well, just because I have a mountain of PLA. Ta-da! But I've been experimenting with more flexible materials. I got some NinjaFlex, which is really cool. It's really difficult to print, but I'm learning.
Okay.
But the short answer is PLA.
Yeah. It's cheap, and you can buy it at Fry's Electronics.
There you go, yeah. Actually, the Dremel... It's not the cheapest or the best filament, but I can go, if I need filament for that thing, I can go to Home Depot and they sell it right there.
Our Home Depots don't have the Dremel yet. I'm very disappointed.
So that's a bonus if you can just get it. The Home Depot's like 10 minutes away. So, and then I usually, do you have a favorite color? I don't care about color because everything gets sanded and painted.
The cheapest color.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Usually pink.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Some ugly, ugly thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause I think we probably use it in a very similar way. It's a like the 3D printed parts, usually never the finished piece. It's the in between step.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will say I like gray filament because it's easier to film. White filament is too bright and black filament is too dark, compared to everything around it. So if you're gonna if you're filming it like I film everything, gray. Let's go for a medium color.
Okay.
Thank you. Good question there, Keanu. Let's grab another one. This is our buddy William over at DLC Props. He's curious about cosplay Melee. He says, "How nerve-wracking was it to work on a costume knowing that you're being filmed for TV?" I'm curious about that too, because when you're in the thick of it, I imagine the thing that you're more nervous about is the time limit and how much you have to accomplish. Did the fact that potentially millions of people were going to watch also play a role?
Only at the beginning, only in that like first 15 minutes when you're just starting to work because you're thinking about your surroundings. And also, actually probably a little longer than that, because the other thing you don't realize is that you don't get any music. It is silent the entire time
just
you're working.
Just echoey.
Unless you're chatting with the other contestants. So yeah, that first like 15 minutes, half an hour, you are very aware of what's going on. But once that pressure starts setting in and you start getting in the groove of making things, I mean, I'm glad that they cut a lot of this, but we did a lot of running and jumping in the shop that was probably incredibly unsafe just to try to get things finished. So yeah, once you get into it, all of that fades into the background. But no, being nervous about it, when I realized who was judging me, when it was Christian, I was like, oh, he worked on like Tron and Aliens and all of these other movies that I love, and he's going to look at my things really close. That was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But by then, had you finished anything, or was that more like right in the middle of everything?
We didn't know who the judges were when we went in for our first, so it was just like a turnaround surprise. Here's your judges. but we did know when he came on set to do the walkthrough, like talk to us about our builds.
Yep. Well, that's something. That's something you don't think about either. It's just like, oh, surprise.
Yeah. I was just like, I had no idea who was going to be standing here.
Yep. Oh goodness. Thank you for the question there, William. That was a good one. Let's grab another one. This is from Demonic King 101. Let's see. I'm building an original designed set of brute-themed Spartan armor from Halo. I want to construct simple, extendable, glowing red plasma wing protrusions. Good thing we have a wing expert on.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Considering having the wing protrusions removable or retractable, but I have no good idea on how to achieve either. Let's see, I have a picture here. A very dark picture that he's got a giant mace and everything. Let's see. Based on your experience building wings in one day.
Okay.
How about that? What are the things that you would tell someone to try and do, and what would people try and avoid when building wings?
Okay. Well, you need to decide first. I would say pick one of two things. Have your wings open and close, or have your wings be stationary and have little protrusions move. Don't do both.
Yep.
That's insane. if you want to do your wings opening and closing, there is a bunch of designs online that you can find. The main thing is that whatever you're covered, like skeletal designs are great and they work when you build them. When you start covering them with things, that's when they start to bind.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, if you're into that protrusion idea, I would instead make wings that are stationary and go to SparkFun, and they have a servo controller chip that requires zero programming. It has three pedometers on it, which are like little dials, and one pedometer sets the beginning state of the servo, the other pedometer sets the end state, and the third one sets how fast it moves.
Oh.
And then you have motion just on a trigger. You wire a switch into it and you press it and it moves. And when you let it go, it goes back.
That sounds pretty great. I'm looking for that right now. I don't know. I see the Micro Maestro 6-channel USB servo controller.
No. Let me see if I can't look at that up. SparkFun.
SparkFun servo trigger.
Yeah, SparkFun servo trigger.
That looks about right.
It should just be a little, like it's a little chewing gum sized board with three pedometers on it.
Yeah, look at that.
SparkFun servo trigger.
I found it. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
And I love that these things exist now. Yeah, it's $17.
Yep. That's
cool. Oh, man.
Yeah, and that's what, for any basic motion where you just need like movement from point A to point B, just as long as it's not super heavy, use that chip. It's so cheap.
There you go. I think one of the best things you can do, too, when you're looking to build something like wings is go see what other people have done. Because there are definitely a lot of things that are I would say there are a lot more things that you shouldn't do than there are things you should do. And a lot of other people have already found out those things you shouldn't do with wings.
Yep.
Thank you for the question, Demonic King 101, and good luck. Good much luck on your wings. Next one comes to us from Zipping Meteor. How would you make the version of the Red Hood helmet in Batman the Killing Joke? Got a picture here. It looks like
big
it's
cylindrical one.
Yeah,
right?
It's just one solid color of red. I've seen plenty that look good in photos, but no one ever actually uses a red two-way film. So I don't know that there is a red two-way film. I know there are ways to do see-through visor things that are tinted colors. There are ways to do that. I've never done that before. Have you ever done anything like vacuum forming with tinted visors or anything like that?
Yeah, but cylinders are tough. I would almost just, like, if you have a plastic supply place in your town, go and see if they have a cull bin, because I would get a big acrylic tube that my head would fit in and then put a dome on it. And don't worry about the dome not being transparent. You can faux that with paint later. Mm-hmm. It's that mirrored part. I mean, I think they sell, like, window tint that's one-way mirror, or, like, the mirrored stuff.
Right.
And if you couldn't find it in red, you might be able to use, like a VTS Nightshades, like those brake light spray paint or something.
Yeah. I've
but
used
that's
the,
all a lot of maybes.
I've tried that stuff to do a dark, like a dark gray tint on a visor, and it's very difficult to see through. And
I
it
think
smells
no matter
terrible.
What you do, that'll be difficult to see through.
So I think like the way that people do like halo visors when they're tinted gold or blue or different colors like that, basically what you would probably end up doing is vacuum forming most of the tube head thing. And if you could vacuum form it out of a plastic that's already red, that would be ideal. Or you could tint it. And we have a tinting video up on our YouTube channel. If it's PETG, you can tint it with iodide poly, which is a fabric, synthetic fabric dye. Then you would have a red tube on your head. And the people that do, and again, I've never done this before, but you can basically get like a chrome lacquer and spray the inside of it to get that shine. And if it's thin enough, it is possible to see out of it. Again, I've never done that before. I would go to the Halo forums and see how they're doing it for their visors. Again, like you said, a lot of maybes.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck, Zipping Meteor. You have picked yourself one challenging helmet to make. There you go. All right, let's keep going. Ray Brooks says, as a growing foamsmith, does that mean that you were small and now you're getting bigger? I think he means that he's learning more foam smithing. With a short budget, what should be the next tool I get? Let's see here. After having already got a Dremel. He's got a Dremel, an X-Acto, and a heat gun. What would be the next tool? All right, Garrick, what would you get? If that's all you had, what would be the very next tool?
Okay. If you have room for a tabletop tool, I would get a bandsaw.
Yes, that was going to be my answer.
Yeah. If you don't have room for a tabletop tool, maybe one of those handheld belt sanders? Like, those can take bevels down and do edging real fast.
Yep. Boy, me trying to think. Whenever anyone asks me, I usually tell them to get a second bandsaw. Get a bandsaw and then probably consider getting a second one. I will say too, like, it doesn't happen all the time, but having the scroll saw as well, it can be really handy. I'll give you an example from yesterday. I was making something and I had a 45 degree bevel on the, bandsaw and I was cutting it around, but then the other cut had to have been flipped around the other way, but I couldn't make it on the bandsaw because there was stuff in the way. So my bandsaw tilts in one direction and my scroll saw tilts in the other direction. Now the scroll saw doesn't cut as nice and smooth, but I was able to finish that cut on the same bevel angle on the scroll saw. So ever since getting the bandsaw, that scroll saw doesn't get a lot of love, but every once in a while, yeah.
My scroll saw has a small tabletop clamped to it where I normally keep my laptop while I twitch.
Yeah.
It's just like, I have some metal blades when I need to cut aluminum, and that's all it's used for.
All right. Well, I guess the jury is out then, Rye Brooks. Go get yourself a bandsaw. They're pretty awesome. And you can look on Craigslist to find one used for fairly cheap. You don't need a big one either. All right, next question comes to us from Distemper. Any idea where I can locate foam armor templates for Halo for an XXL-sized person? Well, if you haven't already gone to the 405th, that's where all the Halo people hang out. But you may have to make your own templates. For all the costumes I've made, except for the Mass Effect 2 armor that I made a long time ago, I've designed my own templates from scratch just because the armor I wanted to make, no one else had made templates for it. How about you, Garrick? Do you find you mostly make your own templates?
Yeah. I tend to take, I try to find like the most flat on image that I can. And I'll usually like throw it into Inkscape and just make an assumption on it. Just assume some part of the armor is 1 inch wide and scale it to the grid. And set my grid to that in the background of it. And then I buy, so Post-its makes these, which are giant sheets of grid paper.
What?
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah, you can buy them at Staples and it's a nicer than, you can use wrapping paper too. It also has grid on the background, but this is a nicer paper. And so I just kind of use the measurement tool inside of Inkscape and go, okay, this is this. And then I trace it out on my paper and work from there most of the time.
Funny story about the measurement tool in Inkscape. Do you know why it's there?
No clue.
It wasn't always there, but they got a hold of me because they saw me do some tutorials on it, and I demanded a measurement tool.
That's awesome. Yes. You are our savior.
You're welcome. It was a very selfish request. The other thing I can't recommend highly enough is getting a duct tape dummy or a plaster torso casting of yourself. That's what I have one of myself, and I make all of my templates off of that. We have a YouTube channel, I have a YouTube channel. Did you guys know that? We have a video on our YouTube channel where we made some torso castings of our friend Eric, the core geek himself, and his daughter. We did some torso castings. It's fairly cheap. You just need some plaster bandages and a couple of friends that you trust. You can make a torso casting. And that's going to help you make your patterns, but also as you're building your costume, you can try it on the torso and then like be over here looking at it instead of wearing it. And that's incredibly helpful when it comes to, you know, fine-tuning your templates and your costume. There you go. Mm-hmm. Do you have a torso or a duct tape dummy or a mannequin?
I have a very sad old duct tape dummy and I've lost some weight since the last time, since we made it. So I need a new one. I have a torso, like a, actually my Gordon Freeman armor's on it right now, but like a old hat. It's the ones where the arms are chopped off and the legs are chopped off, but the size around the chest is about the same as mine, so I use that for a lot of stuff. But yeah, I need to make myself a new official plaster chest cast. Word to the wise, don't buy surplus, like old army surplus plaster bandages, because they are from Vietnam and they don't work anymore.
Oh no.
We tried to do that and I found a great deal on a surplus site. And I was just like, yeah, I'm getting these for like 25 cents a piece. These, yeah, no, they just crumbled. It was just like, yeah, it was bad.
We ended up getting, let's see, this is Pacon Craft Supplies. Plastic. What's the thing? Okay. By the way, people on the internet, if you have a picture of your product and I click on it and to make it bigger and the picture gets smaller, that's no good.
It's broken. That's not good. That's not good design.
Plastic Craft. I think it's something like that. Anyway, we can put a link in the show notes. And anyway, it's a giant box. What is this? Hold on. Sorry. There we go. It's a giant box of plaster bandages. This will last you a couple of years unless you're making torsos every weekend. The overall dimensions are 6 inches wide by 400 feet long. 400 feet long of plaster bandages. Ought to last you a good long time. It's like
that's a good amount.
Yeah, it's like $60. Go in with your friends and buy a whole crap ton of them, and then have a party where everyone casts all your different body parts. It'll be a good time. All right. I'm glad we were able to help out there. I feel like we did a pretty good job. Let's grab another question. Let's see. That last one was from Distemper. New one from Octoprops. I'm working on a Nuka-Cola bottle. I want to cast it hollow and put drinks in it. Do you have any know of any resins that would be food or drink safe? That's a really good question. Personally, anything I've made in my shop, I would try and keep out of my mouth. Or from touching anything that's going to go in my mouth.
I have not used it, but I do know that Alumilite sells a FDA-approved food-safe resin.
Ooh.
I'm
at the Smooth-On website, and I'm just looking up the word food-safe.
They've got silicones, but...
They do. And I am drawing a huge blank here, but my buddy Jesse over at Midnight Armory does mugs. In fact, he gave me one. It's a leather mug, but the inside of it is sealed with a resin that's designed to be food safe. So that, because leather is, it's leather with a piece of wood on the bottom of it. It's not exactly watertight. So they seal it with this resin to make it watertight. But I can't quite remember what it was called.
But yeah, there is one of these.
Aquaresin, maybe. No, that's not it. I've got it somewhere.
Casting.
I'm going over. I have a whole list of stuff to look up, but I can't quite remember what it's called. Anyway, look up whatever it is, the resin that people use for sealing leather mugs. And maybe give that a try. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but that would be the thing I would try. All right. Gonna move on. And I'm sorry that was not completely ideal of an answer, but what you're trying to do is very challenging. Good luck.
Right?
Good luck, Octoprops.
Okay. Wait, no. Oh, I found something. Alumilite... The Amazing Clear Cast complies with the FDA, CFR, blah, 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 blah. So Alumilite Amazing Clear Cast is FDA approved for being food safe.
There you go. Great job. Good job, team. I was ready to give up.
I'm a winner. Right at the minute.
Alumilite, what's it called?
Amazing Clear Cast. I think they sell it at Michael's.
Wow. Alumilite. Oh, it sent me to Amazon. Go to Alumilite's resin, Amazing Clear Cast. Bringing it up. There it is. So whatever this stuff is, Amazing Clear Cast. There you go. And again, it is clear. So if you're going to make a bottle out of it. Now, the pot life, just an FYI, pot life is 30 to 40 minutes. And the demold time is 24 to 48 hours. So slush casting a bottle might be a little challenging.
Yeah. No.
So you may have to search around a little bit. This other one that Jesse told me about was called Max CLR. I believe that's what it was called, Max CLR. But I would have to, again, double check that. And I think what he said you would do is just put a little bit more of the kicker in there to get it to kick faster so that you can actually slush cast it. Anyway, good luck. There was a bunch of information. Try those out and see what if any of those things work. You come on back next week and you let us know. Thank you for the question, Octoprops. Next one comes to us from Anime Panda. If you were to build a large vacuum former, what kind of heat source would you use? Ooh, that's a good question. Do you have a vacuum former?
Yes, that you can see it, right? It's made out of garbage.
Hey, all right. What did you use for your heat source?
Hold on, I have an extra one.
We've lost Gary.
Nope, it's Barry. Oh, there too he boring. Is. Before I say this, I'm not responsible if this burns down your shop. I used electric griddles, like that you buy from Kroger or Fry's.
Sure.
And I cut the thermometer probe off of them, so they are just on forever when they're plugged in.
Disabling any safety feature.
Yep. I have a full-size fire extinguisher mounted in my shop. Like, I'm prepared. But, yeah, I do that, and two of those, two electric griddles is a big enough size for me to run a 2-foot by 2-foot vacuum former.
Very good. I've only ever made vacuum formers out of toaster ovens. And I did take one apart to try and make a bigger vacuum form thing, and it was dangerous, so I quit. So I've only ever made tiny vacuum form tables so far. But I will say, sometime in the future, I'm definitely going to have to build a big one. And we'll investigate the best/safest way to come up with a heat source. Good question, Anime Panda. If you're building your own vacuum form table and it turns out awesome, let us know. If it turns out terrible, let us know too.
Yeah.
Great. Let's grab this one here from Hey Patch. He says he hasn't seen Cosplay Melee yet, but he's curious how much help you got from the other contestants. And also, what was the best thing you learned while on the show?
We helped each other so much that I think they intentionally trimmed some of that away to make it seem more competitive. No, that has to be the best part, at least from my experience on my episode. The best part of the show was just nobody wanted to win on a technicality. Everybody wanted everyone else's stuff to be as good as it could be. So whoever won because they were the best.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was awesome. And what was the other part of the question?
What was the best thing you learned while on the show?
I learned that linear actuators only have a single speed. I learned real fast how to... Oh, and I also learned that brake cables are special for a reason. If any other wire stretches under tension and will never stay in the same place twice if you're using it to pull machinery.
There you go.
But yeah, those are the big things I learned.
That's important. Good question, Hey Patch. Thanks, buddy. Let's grab a couple more here. Aiden Clark wants to know, I'm working on a set of Halo ODST armor out of EVA foam, and I'm trying to decide to go about painting it after I seal it. Spray paint or brush paint? What would you do, Garrick?
I would probably take... This is assuming you have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably thin my paint down with some GAC 900 from Golden. It's a fabric painting medium, ooh, but it gives acrylic... And I'm talking about acrylic paints. It gives acrylic paint more flexibility, and it gives it like a heat setting quality. So you can put it on there and then like heat gun it. And if you're going to airbrush it, it makes it thin enough to airbrush, although you need to wear a respirator, obviously. And if you're going to brush it on, the reduced viscosity will leave less brush strokes. So that's what I do most of the time.
And that is, once again, GAC Golden GAC 900 Fabric Medium. And we will have a link to that in the show notes. I would also spray whatever I'm going to do the finish on, spray it. Whenever I think about replicating a finish on like a gun or armor, I try and think about if this was a real thing that someone made, how did they paint it? And they probably sprayed it on. So that's what I would replicate. It's really hard if you're brushing to not get brush marks. And that will. And when I see that, immediately I'm like, that's not how a Spartan would paint his armor. Unless you're trying to tell a story like this is armor that was repainted by a Spartan by himself on the battlefield. And all he had was his 2-inch wide Bob Ross brush. So that's how I would do it. Spraying also gives you a lot of different options, like doing fun masking and doing interesting stencils and layering paint in really neat ways. So that's how I would go. Good. That I'm going to look up. I'm going to probably get some of that fabric painting medium. Actually, I don't know if we have the golden stuff. I think we do have some good fabric painting medium. I don't know. I have to inventory my shop at some point because
it's
a mess back there.
It's pretty magical stuff. Like, you can even, as long as the house paint is 100% acrylic, you can turn house paint into fabric paint with that stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think the Bare Paint and Primer Plus is 100% acrylic. So yeah, I've for corporate clients before, I've color matched their logos to house paint and turned it into fabric paint.
That's good. Thank you, Aiden, for the question. Good luck on your ODST armor. Let's grab this next one here from Nostalgia. When adding a small fuller on a sword, would heating a metal pipe and pressing it into the EVA sword get the foam to hold the shape? I don't yet have a budget for a rotary tool. It might work. I would worry about melting the foam and getting a texture that I was not happy with. I think sometimes people overestimate how much heating and forming EVA foam can do, like how drastic of a shape or form change you can get out of it. I don't know. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Personally, I would sculpt it in some way. You could even, there's a lot you can do too, where if you like carve valleys in lines down the backside of the foam, and then bend it and backfill it with hot glue. You could get a long trench that way. It's not going to be a perfectly circular or half circle shaped cross section on it, but there's a bunch of different stuff you can do. But I would just save up for the rotary tool. That would be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, start with something cheap from Harbor Freight if that's all you can afford.
That's true. Yeah. I have a really awesome rotary tool, the Fordham, which is crazy expensive.
Jealous.
It's pretty much the coolest thing ever. But I also have another smaller battery powered one that I just keep around because it's not tethered to the wall. A quick search on Amazon, there's one on here for $15 for a corded. Oh no, wait, this one's cordless. Ooh, $15 for a cordless rotary tool. That should be enough to get you started. I bet Harbor Freight has one for $10.
Yeah. Or a coupon, at least.
They have a coupon, or if you buy, like, some wheelbarrow tires, you get one for free. I don't know if you have a Harbor Freight near you, but if you're just getting started, it's a great place to go check out some stuff that'll... It may not be the best rotary tool ever, but it's better than nothing. Yeah, they have a rotary tool kit for $10. Comes with a crap ton of bits. That'll be enough to get you started. All right, let's grab another one here. Let's see, that one was from Nostalgia. And the next one comes to us from Tom. Tom wants to know, I'm working on a great sword and the blade will be bigger than the floor mat foam. How would I make the seams not noticeable? How would you do that, Garrick?
Buy foam from TNT Cosplay.
That is a really good point. That is one of those times where it's worth spending the money on the good foam.
Yeah, I mean, you can... It depends on how you're going to finish it. Like, I've used flexible molding paste or things like that for covering seams before, but they're always... If it's a battle-damaged sword, if it's something that you can hide... some of your little in there, that wouldn't be so bad. But if it has to be pristine, that's going to be tough seaming those together.
Yeah. So I'm on, and we're buddies with TNT Cosplay. We don't have any deals with them currently, but we just like them and their foam is really good. A sheet 2 feet by 60 inches long of 10 millimeter foam is something like $16. And that's going to be more than you'll need for your sword. So I think personally it's well worth the money. That saves you the headache of having to try and seam it and clean that seam up and making it look all perfect. If you do have to go with it, we were talking earlier about the stretch vinyl, how you could hide seams that way. You could use like a metallic stretch fabric over it to make your blade. That might work out pretty okay.
Yeah, and then you can go in and shade it like with an airbrush or even just with really light hand painting, so it's not just a flat like silver spandex or something. Really give it some depth.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do. You could cover it in aluminum foil tape, like Adam Savage likes to do. You've got options. Hopefully we've given you enough options, Tom. Good luck with your sword build. Let's grab one last question here from our pal Sam. He's curious about cosplay melee. He says, how long did you have to get into your costume and do your makeup and whatnot? That's an interesting point, because they show it in the show. It's like the moment you finish, they're like, all right, put your costume on. And everyone that's ever made a costume is like, there's no way they just threw that on. And also, curious if you had help putting everything on. I presume that you would.
Yes, we had help putting things on, and I think the least in trouble way that I can put this is that getting into costume, including makeup, was not considered part of the build.
Right, yeah.
So, and also a lot of that stuff when you're dealing with filming a show is outside of your control. So you have to remember, we're in California, it's union, there's lunch breaks, there's, you know, crew shifts, shift changes, and all of that jazz. So, yeah, they made it look like it happened like this.
Yeah.
There was a bit of waiting in between.
Yep.
But yeah, they helped us get into all of that and everything.
That's good. Thanks for the question, Sam. And thank you everyone else for bringing your questions. You guys, as always, are champions, bringing us your awesome prop and costume making questions. Hopefully we were able to help a bunch of you out on your prop and costume questions and projects and things you're working on. As always, of course, too, if you guys are working on stuff, you want to show it off, tweet them at me at Chinbeard and tweet them at Garrick too. Why not? No one's designs. Yeah.
At No One's Design.
There you go. And if you want to know more about that, they got a website. Go to noonesdesigns.com. You've got all sorts of fun stuff there, like contact us. You got an FAQ. You got tutorials, photo gallery, a bunch of other really good stuff over there. And, of course, if you want to know how to get a hold of Garrick, all that information is there, too. Thank you so much for hanging out, Garrick. This was super fun.
Oh, no, this was a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you're working on next. Anything big? Anything cool?
The next big thing is, I am building the, proton packs from the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
That's awesome. I just saw that popped up on Netflix.
Yes. I was so excited. I was like, yeah. So yeah, those will be the next big prop that I'm doing, because I'm going to do everything in-house on that. I'm doing the whole pack, the backboard. I'm going to do all the lights and sound myself.
Awesome.
It's going to be all me.
Cool. Any is that for you? Is this a client commission?
No, this is for me.
Okay.
This is definitely for me. I mean, I'll have like shells and stuff up on my Etsy and cool. things of that nature. But yeah, no, that's definitely I've wanted that since I was a kid. So.
That's great. Well, I'm excited to see that. When might I see that? Any big conventions coming up sometime soon?
Well, we're going to be down at San Diego, of course.
Okay, cool. I'll be there.
And Phoenix Con. I'm not sure about that. There's a lot of stuff in the air. Yeah. I may or may not be at Dragon Con.
Oh.
Frost, so... We're hoping there's a whole bunch of us from Cosplay Melee that are hoping to be able to show up and roll as a big crew at Dragon.
That would be fun.
So,
actually, Jackie Kraft just showed up in the chat and she's very excited.
Yeah, Jackie!
Awesome. All right. Well, cool. Thanks so much for hanging with us the last hour. I'm very excited to see your Proton Pack. Thank you, everyone else, for hanging out. And we see you all next week, I think. Actually, next week I'll be at Star Wars Celebration, so maybe you won't see me next week. I don't know. My life is insane. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all on the next episode of Prop Live Q&A.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Jackie's very excited.